the Midnight Radio Network. Eric Harley, Gary McNamara is off this morning, 800-288-9227. And welcome to Ask the Law, the very first Ask the Law for 2010. Retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial, the Texas Highway Patrol, is here to answer your questions, drivers. 800-288-9227. It's made possible by our friends at Old Blue USA. It's a public service of Old Blue USA, and we want to thank R.J. Taylor and the crew there at Old Blue USA for making it possible. Once again, by the way, this is Ask the Law for Monday, January 4th, 2010. And any of the answers that you hear on this program can change without notice. Statements, comments made by anyone other than Trooper Monty Dial are considered to be opinions only. Trooper Dial, Happy New Year to you. How are you?
Happy New Year. Doing great.
You know, here we are, 2010. It's funny because over the weekend as I'm doing show prep, I'm thinking to myself, well, CSA 2010, EPA 2010, and then I'm thinking, wow, we're here.
Yes, we're here.
So, you know, so do we still call it CSA 2010? I suspect we do. EPA 2010, the engines, I guess, will start rolling off the line anytime now. Anybody waiting for that? Don't hold your breath. Not many customers, unfortunately. Eventually they will roll off the line, but not right now. And then there is the whole aero trucking mess. You and I kind of communicated on a couple of questions that I had as I was a part of this group, this support group for aero truckers on Facebook. And I worked throughout my vacation and just to help them get back on the road. Somebody sent me a private message last week and said, who do you work for? I think I've heard your name. And I said, well, right now I work for aero truckers, those drivers that are trying to get back home. But then I told them about the show and everything. And it was interesting as we started to see when this shutdown happened. All right, this was, and you know, so much has happened during my vacation, during the holiday break for me. It's kind of hard to really take all of this in. But when the aero trucking thing, when the shutdown happened, which is, gosh, 2 weeks ago.
When the 22nd?
Yeah. That was 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
Unbelievable. But as that started to happen, we started to get calls. Jamie Jones, the editor of Landline Magazine, called me at home on that Tuesday. She called me and said, all right, we've got this support group Facebook page up, and we'd like you to, if you can promote it, please. And, you know, be a part of it. And we started helping drivers right away, getting them that information. But as it started to unfold, we started to learn that a lot of drivers were doing a lot of things from that group. A lot of the aero drivers were doing things. And one of those, and this is something that you were talking to me about in our pre-show meeting, one of those things was those aero drivers were dropping their trailers.
Mm-hmm.
They were, in some cases, having to pay for their own fuel to get home. In fact, if they were driving home, they were having to pay for their own fuel, or somebody was having to help them with fuel in order, right, to get home. So a lot of them decided that it would be easier to just drop those trailers. But then the FMCSA came out, and this happened just the other day. The FMCSA came out and said that the carrier was responsible for going out and rounding up their equipment. So,
well,
what happens there?
The thing was, when I read the post, it was actually issued either on the 22nd or the 23rd was when actually FMCSA contacted Aero,
right, okay,
and told them that under a federal law, they were required that if a driver was under a load,
mm-hmm,
that the aero was supposed to do everything they could to make sure that that load got to its receiver.
Okay, so this wasn't just about the equipment. This was about loads as well.
Right.
Whoever owned whatever content was in,
right,
those trailers.
Right. And I think
was owed that delivery.
Right. I think it was more for those, the part that I read was more if the driver was under a load,
okay,
then they were responsible. You know, Arrow was supposed to do what they could. And I read it that, hey, Arrow, you need to make sure that this driver gets its load
right
to its destination.
Right. All right. So at that point, you know, and I know we're in this whole scenario, we're talking major gray area.
Mm-hmm.
But is it the driver's responsibility? Because that came up on our message board, is that if you have signed for that load, you know, you yourself have some responsibility in order to get that load there. Now, their fuel card was turned off. They didn't have any fuel to get
right.
it there. So what is a driver who has signed for that load responsible for? Is there any DOT regulation that you're aware of that makes them ultimately responsible for that load in order to get that content to its receiver? Or is that just a contract, business contract that has no law that covers it?
Well, it's ultimately going to fall back on the carrier itself because
yeah.
he's the one, the carrier's the one that has the operating authority. The driver is just merely an individual that is employed by the carrier to operate the vehicle.
Okay.
If a situation came up to where the driver could not perform his functions,
mm-hmm.
then it ultimately falls back on the motor carrier. In this instance, the motor carrier was Arrow.
Yeah, yeah. The federal lawsuit that came out from the employees is expected to hit the courtrooms today. So we'll see if, you know, what happens. Something will go before a judge today, but I don't know to what extent what will ultimately be a class action lawsuit.
Mm-hmm. That was something that I heard when read in one of the trucking news publications,
mm-hmm.
where they had an attorney out of Philadelphia that was, I think, using the Warren Act.
Right, right.
And I went and pulled up the Warren Act, and I kind of read it that it was mainly there to cover hourly employees.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, the truck drivers aren't hourly employees.
Right, right.
And I kind of took it that this was a situation that would cover situations if you were a union,
mm-hmm.
or if you were an hourly employee and you wanted to join a union,
right?
And the company said, no, you know, we're going to shut everything down. But here again, the attorney, I am not one,
right.
And so it's going to be left.
Yeah, the
up
attorney
to court.
Took the case. I guess they saw something there that might pertain to, or
right.
at least affect some of these company drivers,
right?
Arrow. So I guess we'll see how that plays out and what a judge does. Because
right.
sometimes a lawyer will just take it and say, let's see what the judge says about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like I say, he's going to have to convince the court that, you know, he can take this class action and put it under the warrant. If,
right.
if the judge says, nah, you mm-hmm. know, it's mainly going to be for hourly employees,
mm-hmm.
then obviously there is no lawsuit.
Right, right. We'll see how that plays out. As it's expected to again go before a judge later today, and we'll see how all of that plays out. 2010. Normally, at the beginning of a year, we see some new laws take effect. Are you aware of any new laws that have taken effect as of January 1? I was not able to find any.
The one that probably comes to mind most that I have heard truck drivers say that they are glad it's finally happening, and that's in Indiana. There
yeah.
is no more split
speed limits.
Speed limits. I'll get it out here in a minute.
Yeah.
They get to go the same speed. But I think, too, a lot of states have gotten on the bandwagon about the texting.
Right, right.
And so they're, they, and it not only applies to truck drivers, but it applies to everybody.
Right, yeah.
So, be aware of the a lot of the states passing texting
mm-hmm.
laws.
Yeah, I think our state has a statewide ban on texting in school zones.
Right.
Somebody asked me a question on that. It was right after you appeared last month, and it was, what if I'm sitting inside the school zone waiting for my child to come out, or you know, and I'm parked? Can I use?
Oh yes.
Can I actually text then?
It's mainly in the lanes of travel.
Okay.
Where you're actually traveling through the school, you know, through the zones. But if you're parked up next to the school waiting to pick your child up, it does not apply.
Yeah, I told them to be safe, to make sure that you're not considered to be driving, make sure the car's in park, and I would go ahead and turn it off.
Right.
So just to be safe. All right, 800-288-9227. If you want to get through, drivers, maybe you've got a question about hours of service, about CSA 2010. We're going to talk more about CSA 2010 here in just a few minutes, as that has seen some movement over the last few days. Last 30 days, especially as they have started to build this driver database now.
Yes.
And we'll talk more about that and how this will affect drivers. And I think 2010 could be one of those years where we all look back and go, wow, that was one that really had a lot of regulatory items that changed trucking. And I think this is going to be one of them. If you want to get on board, 800-288-9227. If you'd like to text us, you can send us a text, 68683, make MRN the first three letters. Again, 68683, make MRN the first three letters. Do not text while driving, please. Make sure that you are somewhere safe on the side of the road. Standard rates do apply. It's the Midnight Radio Network, and Ask the Law, back in a moment, 800-288-9227. It's the Midnight Radio Network. Eric Carly here. It is Ask the Law for January 4th, 2010. And we are live on the air with our friend, Monty Dial, Senior Trooper Monty Dial, retired from the Texas Highway Patrol. The information and answers to questions are up to date as of January 4th, 2010, and can change without notice. The statements or comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. Here's what I want you to do, drivers. If you have a question any time, any CMV questions at all, you can send your questions to askthelaw.org. All you have to do is click on the big red button that says email Ask the Law. Again, askthelaw.org. Click on the big red button that says email Ask the Law. 800-288-9227 if you want to get through. Let's talk about CSA 2010. What happened in January as we started to move closer to CSA 2010? What is this driver database? And how is it going to affect drivers? Has that begun, and what should drivers expect?
My understanding is, and I have not read the exact date, but sometime in December, they implemented what was called a driver pre-screening. What they are allowing companies to do is tap into the federal database that is currently under what we call a motor carrier management information system.
Right.
Every motor carrier that operates, whether it be a for-hire carrier or a private carrier, anytime a roadside inspection is done on their vehicle, or anytime one of their drivers is involved in a DOT reportable crash, all of this information is sent to a federal database. And it sits there, and the company can access this data. When I was going out doing the compliance reviews, I would always question the company, because they would always, our people in Austin would always send me the most recent McMus report.
Mm-hmm.
In it would have every time one of their vehicles went through a roadside inspection. It would give me the state inspection number, give me a location and a time. It would give me the driver, the vehicle, and any violations that were noted on the inspection.
Right.
And if any of those violations were out of service. So I would always ask him, do you order a copy of this? Depending upon the size of the company, I would tell them, at a minimum, you need to be ordering one of these at least every 6 months. One, you want to make sure that the information on that inspection or on that report is accurate. Two, if it's not, you need to take and do the data queue and get the information corrected. If it doesn't belong to you, get it off. Likewise, if the crash is on there, get it off, because it's going to ultimately affect you. Well, starting in December, now then, these companies that if a driver comes in and puts in an application, once they get the driver to sign a release, they can forward that information to Washington, D.C., and they can look at this driver's information that is in this database. It will give them the last three employers that are the last 3 years that the driver, who he has worked for. It will also show the last 3 years' worth of inspections. Also, it will show the last 3 years that the driver's been involved in a DOT recordable crash.
Right.
Ultimately, under CSA 2010, and I think it's supposed to go into effect sometime in December of this year, and that was why they kind of kicked this pre-screening out ahead of time, because by the time we do get under CSA 2010, they want 3 years' worth of data there.
Right, right.
So it becomes very, very, very important to drivers that they keep up with what is on this. Now, they say that the drivers can have access to this.
Mm-hmm.
I do not know as of right now what that avenue is going to be on how they can go and take a look at it.
That's one of the biggest questions we've had is will I be able to see this report on me and the information in this report? I want you to stand by because we've got more questions that have come up about CSA 2010, and I think we'll constantly get them. I think a new one will come up every minute of this year with different drivers thinking of different items that will be on these reports. So stand by. We'll talk CSA 2010 and more with Trooper Monty Dial on Ask the Law on the Midnight Radio Network. Midnight Radio Network. Eric Harley here, and we are smack dab in the middle of Ask the Law, the very first one for 2010. All the information and questions, answers to questions, are up to date as of January 4, 2010. Can change without notice. Statements or comments made by anyone other than Senior Trooper Monty Dial, retired of the Texas Highway Patrol, who is sitting right across from me right now. They are considered to be opinions only, so you should know that. You should also know that you can ask your questions anytime at askthelaw.org. Askthelaw.org is the website. Click on the big red button that says email Ask the Law. That's all you got to do. And again, askthelaw.org is the website. By the way, you should know they're a nonprofit organization, and they appreciate anything that you might be able to contribute. If you'd like to send them drivers, and we ask you to do this from time to time, a $5 or $10 check would go a long, long way for R.J. Taylor and the entire crew there at Old Blue USA. They are a nonprofit organization, so if you can give, that would be absolutely fantastic, because they work tirelessly to get you this information free of charge, and they do it on radio broadcasts like this one and of course through their website and everything else. So if you want to go to askthelaw.org, you can find out a lot of great information there, and you can also get their mailing address. Maybe you could send them a check. 800-288-9227. Senior Trooper Monty Dial, again, retired of the Texas Highway Patrol, is here. We'll get back to CSA 2010 in just a few minutes. Did you hear a lot of... Now, you mentioned one incident that you saw where there was a trailer, an aero trailer, that was parked at a truck stop. Did you hear a lot of from your friends who are still active, a lot of stories surrounding the equipment and the drivers with aero trucking as they shut down over the last... couple of weeks? Did you hear any of those stories here in North Texas specifically?
Not really. That was the only incident that I ran across, and I don't know what happened to in the situation that occurred.
Right.
Other than my son was talking with one of the local record drivers, and they had been dispatched to a truck stop east of here.
Yeah.
Driver had abandoned the trailer with the load of coil steel on it.
Yeah.
And apparently it had been in this truck stop too long, and they dispatched somebody to come pick it up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, it's unfortunate how this whole thing played out. I think the company could have done a better job, and we're going to be talking about that on as this whole thing plays out with lawsuits and everything else. I did notice that one of the owners, one of the executives, had his house up for sale last week, and it makes me wonder if they're going to be able to raise enough money to pay off everything. I don't know how that all that stuff works or how it will play out, but it was a very interesting story, as it seems they are nowhere to be found. They're certainly not answering any questions for the media as of yet, but they'll have to answer questions certainly for their employees and their drivers coming out over the next couple of weeks and few months as this whole thing plays out. Could be a prelude, and this was part of the discussion on the message board, the support group message board on Facebook. This could be a prelude as to some of the other companies, maybe larger companies, that may have trouble over 2010 and shutting down. I was just talking with R.J. Taylor from Old Blue USA during the break, and it's unfortunate, but they're saying that we could see an increase in unemployment. That could see by June of this year, unemployment could be somewhere around 11%. It's a lagging indicator, as trucking is a lagging indicator now. It used to be trucking was a leading indicator,
right?
But it's a lagging indicator simply because of the way that that retailers now are stocking shelves. And so it's unfortunate that it will, for unemployment and for the trucking industry, it will get worse before things start to get better. We'll see, you know, all of that play out as more and more trucking companies, I'm sure, will have a hard time making it through. And I would hope that if there are any CEOs and management that have watched this whole aero trucking thing play out, they would learn from this and realize that there are humans involved. And that it has to be handled. Look, no one faults them for going out of business. That's something that, you know, you could go back and argue about how companies were managed, or anything else, and that's a totally different talk show. But we're talking about the way it was handled in the end and how drivers, you know, were stranded.
I think the biggest thing, though, was probably had it occurred during the summertime.
Yeah.
It probably wouldn't been such a big issue.
Right, right.
But here again, you know, 3 days before Christmas.
Oh, yeah, that was a big deal.
That was the big, big deal, you know, because most truck drivers choose to be home with their family. Some of them aren't fortunate enough, just like when I was working.
Mm-hmm.
Holidays are just regular days for us.
Right, yeah. Sure.
And so, you know, we understand that there are some drivers that, not by their choice, they have to be out there.
Yeah.
But still, you know, when you take a company that has 1,400 employees, it's a tough pill to swallow, 3 days, before Christmas.
Yeah.
And they're saying, hey, you know, the company's no more.
Well, and we found that even on the support group page there on Facebook, that we kind of had to remind people, we had to remind drivers and civilians alike who were helping out that, look, just because it's Christmas Day or the day after doesn't mean this thing's over.
Right.
Because we still have drivers out there. In fact, last count I saw, we still had a few hundred drivers that were out there. I think the last count I saw on Saturday night or Sunday morning was somewhere in the area of just over 400 drivers that were still out there, Aero Trucking Company drivers that were still out there and needed to get home. So that's something that where we have to kind of keep it in mind. And you have to, you know, it's in the summertime, you can, and this is, in fact, we're going to segue into anti-idling laws here, but in the summertime, it's more likely that you could survive. Now, it may be really hot. You may sweat all night. But we're seeing a huge cold snap right now.
Oh, yes.
And I started thinking about this as we had one of our drivers. He's home now in North Carolina, but he was in Wyoming. And then he was, as we were trying to get home, to get him home, He was stranded as I-80 was shut down due to ice. And I'm thinking of now these drivers who may be stranded, who are in their trucks and have no money for fuel, so they can't idle, they can't do anything about it. And that becomes a very dangerous situation for their personal well-being.
Sure.
But let's talk about the anti-idling laws. Now, we know that here in Texas, the idling laws really are during the warmer months only.
Yes.
And those are
April to October.
Yeah, so starting April 1st, they'll go back into effect.
Yes.
Now, we have other states that are, you know, that have year-round anti-idling.
Yes.
And so drivers should know this. Before you go out on a trip, you should know what the anti-idling laws are in the states and the areas that you're going to be traveling.
Correct.
So that you can be fully prepared. Because, you know, I know it sounds harsh, but all of the lessons that we have learned from just, I mean, in the past in general, and also from the aero trucking thing, is to for drivers to be prepared. And with aero trucking, it could be, all right, one of the lessons could be, put some money in savings every paycheck so that you have some money to get yourself home and you, mm-hmm. you aren't stranded. And I know these days it's easier said than done, but that could be one of the lessons there. With anti-idling laws and a cold snap that we're seeing this week, which for much of the country is only going to get colder as the week goes on,
yes,
we are looking at you know, a situation where drivers must have an APU. You got to make sure that it's working. Got to make sure that your chains are in good condition.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, frankly, a lot of this should have been done, I guess, you know, maybe during the warmer days, but certainly
yes.
should be done before you leave out on one of these long trips.
Most definitely.
Yeah, so that's going to be, I think it's going to be a real harsh winter if this week is any indication, temperature-wise.
Yes.
And we're seeing, of course, we saw in D.C. over the Christmas break, over the last couple of weeks, D.C. got 2 feet of snow. In Wichita Falls, Texas, they got, my dad got 10 inches of snow and lots of drifts because it was blowing snow.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't expecting but a light dusting when the weatherman put everybody to bed the night before.
Right.
Next thing you know, on Christmas Eve, it was crazy how much snow they got.
I think what was it, 287 there northwest of
yeah.
I-44 to Iowa Park.
Right.
They had vehicles that were caught up in that little short span right there for some time as long as 11 hours.
Right, right, and even more. They had a couple of vehicles that were trying to get. One buddy of mine, it took him several hours just to go, I think, 20 or 25 miles.
Yeah.
So that's some of the things that, for the veteran drivers, they are prepared. But I actually saw this on a message board here over the last couple of weeks, and one driver said, well, I'm from Florida, and I ran into a winter storm one time, and I wasn't prepared, and I didn't have the right jacket, I didn't have the gloves, I didn't have everything else. You have to know where you're going.
Yes.
I saw Alaska was at like 42 below zero. You really have to know where you're going. The upper tier over the next week or two is going to be excruciatingly cold. And if you have a line that freezes up or whatever it is, this could be about life and death.
Oh, yes. No doubt.
So
no doubt.
You just have to make sure that you are prepared there. We're going to talk more about CSA 2010. And if you would like to ask Trooper Dial a question, we'll open up the lines for you at 800-288-9227. You can also send us a text, 68683. Make sure you put MRN as the first three letters. Again, 68683, MRN as the first three letters. It is Ask the Law, back in a moment on the Midnight Radio Network. Midnight Radio Network, Eric Harley, and Gary McNamara's office morning. It is Ask the Law with retired senior trooper Monty Dial, and courtesy of Old Blue USA. Let's go to Blake in Tyler, Texas, about hours of service. Blake, good morning.
Yes, sir. Good morning. I'm actually up here right, Albuquerque, but yeah, I just can't figure out what they're all trying to do with us drivers. I mean, You know, you have to be comfortable in order to get your rest.
Hmm.
These anti-idling laws are just absurd. I mean, you know, if you don't, if you're sweating and you can't get air circulation,
oh, yeah,
and you
yeah.
can't leave your windows open because somebody might steal your, come into your truck and steal your wallet.
Sure.
And you can't get your proper rest and you run over somebody, who are you going to go to? You got to go to a lawyer and cite fatigue as the reason of that accident. And the reason why the fatigue is there is because the laws made you tired.
Yeah.
These opti idles, you know, that's still idling. That's what my truck has. It idles and it shuts off. It idles and shuts off. But it wakes me up.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And then I got one other point with these APUs.
Mm-hmm.
They're horrible. They're stinky. They're inefficient. They're polluting. When one pulls up against me, I smell the smoke coming up under my bunk, and I gotta move.
Yeah, Blake, and Blake, we're out of time here, and I really appreciate your comments. And we're gonna, I'll expand on that here in just a few minutes. In fact, I've got some of my own as we continue Ask the Law. If you'd like to get in, do it now on Ask the Law at 800-288-9227.